بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A warm welcome once again to the fifth episode of Iftar for Soul season 3. And today I'm not feeling well, so if you hear some noise in between, I apologize for that in advance. And of course, always for the background noise here at home. I'm going to spend most probably the next Ramadan in my apartment in Berlin. And I think there I will be more relaxed, so to say. And it will definitely be much quieter. So moving forward, we are still in Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Quran, and we are now slowly heading towards ayat which were sent down during the time of the Prophet in Medina, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his time there. So you would see some kind of the questions, the rhetorical questions that we will be looking at. They have a context behind that. I'm not going to get too much into the context, but just to give you a slight idea. So Medina was already inhabited by Jewish tribes. There were three in total. I'm not sure if it was only three, but three is what I remember from my studies, and the names are also present in the books. Why the Jewish tribes were already there before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Medina, there are multiple theories for that. There's no one unanimous established fact why were they there, but the most accepted theory, so to say, is that they had knowledge regarding the uprising of a prophet, and it was in that region where Medina is situated today. So this is one of the most accepted theory in the Islamic circle, scholars of Sunni, about the understanding of the presence of Jewish tribes in the middle of, you know, in the middle of the desert. And Roman and Persian Empire were the big superpowers. So, you know, this area was pretty much always overlooked because it did not have much of resources to offer, so to say. I can highly recommend you to listen to the first episode of Sirah of the Prophet by Dr. Yasir Qazi. He really talks about the social political environment before even Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. I think it was also before his birth and also after his birth, before his prophethood. So you get an idea of the political environment there. So here you would see that in the next ayat, next episode, there will be a context, but I will not get too much into the context of that of the ayah. I would be focusing more on the wisdom of the question. So the ayah is 33 from Surah Al-Baqarah, number 2. Excuse me, it's 44, 33. I think we did yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So now we're at 44. And it says in the translation of the meaning of this ayah by Dr. Mustafa Khattab is as follows. Do you preach righteousness and fail to practice it yourselves, although you read the scripture? Do you not understand? So what's interesting for me here is the word ata'amurun an-nas. So this is the first two words where, you know, they have been translated as do you preach righteousness? It also has been translated as do you bid others to righteousness? And the third one by Abul Ala Maududi is, do you enjoin righteousness on people? In all these three cases, you see that there is a sentiment of someone feeling himself entitled to preach people about something, and to put himself it's about someone who puts oneself at a place where one thinks that one is righteous, one has the right to teach people what to do and what not to do with their lives, etc. This inherent sense of being superior because I'm doing good, so I feel like I have the license to preach others, to enjoin others. But here Allah says that, do you enjoin righteousness on people and forget your own selves, even though you recite the scripture? Now, recite the scripture here, you know, here this is an interaction between the Jews and the Muslims. So that's why you in this ayah you have although you read the scripture, so the scripture here means the scripture that the Jewish had at that time. In several places in the Quran, Allah talks to Jewish and Christians. In fact, even exclaiming, I think it's in Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah says that that these books were sent down with light and guidance for the people, but then they were corrupted later. So here Allah points out that in your very books, you know that the Muhammad was supposed to come, and yet you don't listen to that. Yet you don't accept him, his prophethood. So here you say that Allah is calling out these people that, you know, you call yourself so righteous, you call yourself, okay, I'm going to preach righteousness. However, you are failing to practice what your scripture teaches. So Allah says that these books were sent down to you by me. So as Muslims, we are required to believe in the books that were sent down before the Quran. So for example, the Bible, the Gospel, and the Psalms of David, for example. This is one of the important aspects of our article of faith, to believe in the books. So here Allah calls out those people. It is, for me, this argument is divided into two parts. First is this people who like to preach others, yet not following what they are preaching. And the other one is, have you no sense, or do you not understand? I will talk about the first part first. And here, what's interesting for me is that there is a verse in the Quran where an attack of devil, of shaitan, of iblis is mentioned, where in Surah Al-Araf in Ayah 17, where he says that, I will approach them from their front, their back, their right, their left, and then you will find most of them ungrateful. So the scholars, when they commented on this ayah, when I'm not going to get into each one of the direction, I will only talk about the right. So the right part, this is a waswasa, this is a tactic of devil, of iblis, where he provokes people to feel entitled to judge others and to get a license to call out on people when they feel that they are following a religion. For example, a woman who wears a headscarf, and she looks down upon women who do not wear a headscarf. A man who's praying, who goes to the mosque and prays, and then he looks down upon other people who are not going to pray, and then he starts feeling that I am more religious than the others, so I have the right to feel better than the others. So this is something that that is one of the tactics of Iblis, where he gives this attack from the right side, because right is usually considered the good side. So people start feeling entitled to judge others, and this is where Allah says that you cannot put yourself on that self righteousness, because I know what we read about in the previous rhetorical question, that He knows what we conceal and what we reveal. So He knows inside of us. So even if we know that there are some things that people can also call upon us, call us out on, but we are so good at hiding it, so people cannot do that. But we sins are good at picking faults of others, so we start doing that. So we start picking up people and judging people, and then Allah is. Through this verse, He clearly says that this is something that you should not be doing. That's the idea. And what's interesting is that the lesson for me in the first part of this rhetorical question is that we need to gauge our action or our own actions first, especially when we come together as a community. And because it is natural that, you know, when we come as a community, we see what people are wearing, what people are doing, what are their social responsibilities. Like, for example, you know, people who make some dietary choices and then they start judging others for their dietary choices, not understanding that even if we make a certain dietary choice, does not mean that we are thinking good of the planet, because there's always something that we should be focusing on to stop doing. For example, if I say that I'm becoming a vegan because of animal rights and whatnot, but then also if we look at the trade of how avocados, for instance, even our vegetables and nuts, how they arrive somewhere. Talking about trains, for example, green environment, and I'm saying I'm not going to fly, but I'm going to take trains. But the manufacturing of train itself is also not that green. And then, you know, the list goes on. For example, the mobile devices we use and the child labor that comes with it, the exploitation of labors that comes with it in certain parts of Africa. You know, the list can go on. So here, here it is important that we focus on ourselves first. We see what we can do, and we stay focused on us. Allah says in the Quran that successful people are those who purify themselves. Now, in order to purify myself, I need to spend a lot of time with myself, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my interactions with people, how I go about in the community, how I go about in at work, online, for example, like what kind of commentary I'm doing under the comment section, or what kind of videos I'm spreading, what kind of humor I'm using, and what are the cons of that humorous messages, of the stereotypes that I spread about certain people. So I think this is something that we really need to consider in our dealings with people. There's a very famous, it's part of a very famous hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, where he says that whoever conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in this life and the hereafter. So we need to nurture this habit of you know, this gossip mongering, where we love to sit and talk about others and you know, exploiting their and abusing their secrets. And if someone confides in us with something, then we go and tell it to someone else. And that is, you know, these are the things we need to be really careful about in our dealings with people. There is another very interesting saying by the fourth caliph, who was also the companion of the Prophet, Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, "It is incumbent upon every person of intelligence that he carefully look over his weaknesses in regards to following his religion, his thoughts, etiquette, and that of his interaction with other people. And he should either record these in his heart or write them down, and then he should strive to remove all of these bad traits from himself." I'm going to use this as a bridge to the second part of this rhetorical question in this ayah, is, do you not understand, or have you no sense? Usually when this rhetorical question is put forward, it usually suggests that the person being addressed lacks common sense or good judgment and is therefore behaving foolishly or irresponsibly. There's, you know, some scholars have even mentioned that people who incessantly talk about other people's fault have not spent enough time with their own faults. And in my experience, you know, like, this has manifested even more and more. I feel that I was focused a bit too much on what others are doing. Like, I know for myself, like, even my understanding of Islam was pretty much dependent on how people lived it. Like, my faith in Allah depended on how others were living it, not how I lived it. It was not about, I did not pay much attention of what I understand Allah as, of what Islam is for me, or what, or how can I, I used to, you know, criticize millionaires, billionaires, these rich people spending money on food and drinks and whatnot, and fashion, and not helping others out. But then but I took a step back and I thought to myself, like, I could be a millionaire for someone, right? Like, we all can be a millionaire for someone. There are people who do not have much in life, and then they look at me and my lifestyle and they think, oh, he has an iPhone, he lives abroad, then he's definitely much richer. So I do not have to have millions to be a millionaire. So then it comes down to, what am I doing with the money that I have? Like, how am I spending the money that I have left after fulfilling my needs? My need to make sure that I have food, I have water, I have a house. And then what do I do with the rest of the money? And this is where then it comes, right? Like, that we need to sit down. We need to sit down with ourselves and think. And this is why, you know, nowadays we have this whole culture of mindfulness and being woke and whatnot. I'm not sympathetic towards that word woke anyway. I think that this is something that Islam has always been teaching us, like how you spend time with yourself, like what do you do with your free time, and I think this is something that for example. Ibn Abbas, one of the companions of the Prophet, also mentioned, if you intend to mention the faults of your companions, then remember your own faults. Then Umar bin al-Khattab, you know, like he was the ruler of the Muslim nation, the second after Abu Bakr. He also said that I thank those who gift me the knowledge of my own faults. So you know, the idea of being offended, I guess, you know, upon critique just shows how insecure we are on the inside, how much of low self-respect we have for ourselves. And I guess that it is important that we start respecting ourselves, we start thinking on ourselves and how to purify our thoughts and how to purify hate, the grudges that we have in our in us, and to remind ourselves of our own faults. I do not want to make it sound in a destructive way that we only focus on our faults, but this should be a habit the moment we start focusing on others. And of course, you know, let's say if someone is trying to go, is about to invest some money with someone, and if I know that this person is not reliable, then in this case, I should inform that person, be careful. You know, this is the image of that person. So you might be a bit careful when you want to invest with that person. Or you see two people, I don't know, two people in a bond, in a relationship, marriage, and then you know that the other person is not reliable, and you have proof to you know, and then in these cases it's okay to open your mouth. But in general, we need to make this habit of what's really going on inside of us. There's a very famous Punjabi poet. It's part of a long poetry where he says that you have read millions of books, but you've never taken a step inside of your heart to read yourself. And I think this is where Allah beautifully pairs these two together, right? Like if you look at the ayah again, the first part is like, you know, do you preach righteousness? And then on the other part of the ayah is, do you not understand? So do you not reflect? I mean, in order to understand, you need to reflect, you need to think. So we need to have this culture of having a healthy approach towards our faults, and to work on them, to be able to correct them, and I think the more time we spend with ourselves, the more we will be detached from actually what's happening out and what wrong people are doing. I do not have to look at politicians to see there is a corrupt leader that I have. I need to see how corrupt I am. As I said, it's not either or. It's more like more of me and less of the others, right? Like I should be able to know what's happening in the world and what's wrong and what's right. But at least my starting point should be me. Like I should know. Like for example, if I'm sitting and I'm like, how could this person do that to this person? How could this person do that to that person? I need to see what am I doing. What would I have done if I was put in that situation? So that's why I must also say that, you know, we must not confuse that just because one is unable to perform a certain good deed, one does not advise others to do it, right? These are two separate virtues. So therefore, enjoining righteousness and performing righteousness are both required. Neither category is rendered not necessary by the practice of the other. So that's why we need to kind of take this together with us. Just because I'm not doing something also does not mean that I do not enjoy it. But let's not judge others, right? Like let's not be too harsh on others. Let's try to find this balance. In Surah, I think it's, I'm forgetting the name of the Surah. Allah says that we are a nation of we are the middle nation. We are a nation of balance. We cannot lean too much on the left. We cannot lean too much on the right. It's harmful and it's unrealistic. So let's try to find a way in between where we learn how to look at our faults, where we learn how not to judge others and not to put ourselves on this podium of being a preacher, and then in our own ways we are not fulfilling what we are preaching, and then that's another form of hypocrisy. May Allah guide and clean our hearts from such attitudes, from such approach, and from such outlook on life, and we learn how to think good of others, how to think good of ourselves, how to think good of others, and celebrate our goodnesses, and work on our weaknesses. I think there is no harm in accepting that we have our own flaws. All right, then I thank you for tuning in today, and wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.